Hey, let's start the show.
It's January 3rd, 2013. Welcome to This Is Only a Test, the official podcast of Tested.com. Smith, happy new year, Norman Chan.
Happy new year.
How are you doing, sir?
It is indeed a new year.
Yeah,
the first year since 1987, I believe, that we do not have repeating numerals.
Oh, then there's not some sort of overlap. 1987 or
1987.
88, 89. Wow.
All the 90s had
all
two nines.
The 90s had two nines. All the 2000s had two and 20.
That's
wow.
Correct. Yes.
2011 had dupes. 2010 mm-hmm. had dupes. I think your math checks out.
Yes. So. Although, is it a prime number?
No, 2012. 2013.
2013, I do not believe, is a prime number.
Should not. No, it might be. Because it's going to be 2000 is divisible, so you can factor that out. It's just the 13 that matters, right?
I wonder if this is something that Google Search could help us out with.
Are you gonna already consult? You know, my resolution this year is to use Google Search more. Mainly because I don't really believe
resolve to use that.
No, it's just going to happen. I knew that.
Is 2013 a prime number?
I like that you don't change your intonation at all when you speak to the computer.
No, it is a composite number.
What's a composite number?
It has positive integer factors such as 3, 11, 33, 61. Yeah, so no way.
No, okay.
Many numbers it is divisible by. Integers wise.
So Norm, do you have New Year's resolutions this year?
Excel.
So this is the same resolution you had last year and every year.
Yeah,
before.
No, exactly. I don't believe in New Year's resolutions. Do not use years as I guess you can believe in birthdays, but New Year's.
Well, hold on. So you're saying you don't believe in the birthday of the year, just the birthday of you.
Yes.
So you look at your birthday and you say, okay, this year. This is the year that I'm going to do 1,000 push-ups in a day.
Plus, this is the white man's new year.
That's true.
Let's be honest.
Fair enough.
Right.
This is.
I don't get any money for this new year.
This is a drinking holiday. Well, you're about to turn the corner from getting money to giving money.
Nope. Nope.
No.
Only after you have children. So
I'm the white man,
money.
So I don't have the problem.
That's right. You neither give nor receive money. Resolutions. The resolution pun is well worn.
Hold on. What's a resolution pun?
Oh, my New Year's resolution is 1920 by 1280. That's a terrible resolution.
Oh, I saw that one. Who are you calling out?
There are numerous
people. Oh, that was a lot of them?
Yeah. I didn't even see one go as far as to say my New Year's resolution is 4K. I did see a couple of 600 DPIs, but that was it.
Wow.
Those graphic designers.
Wow. So
Yep.
Yeah, I just posted I wanted to be a better father. Already accomplished. I've got 10 days. It couldn't have been worse.
That would imply that you were already a father.
I guess that's true. Not that I know that I'm already a father. I don't know that I'm already. I don't. Anyway.
No.
Carry
no,
on.
Nope.
Anything of note you would like to discuss that happened over the holiday?
What happened over the holiday?
Did you see, what activities did you partake in over the holiday season?
I went to Lake Tahoe.
Okay.
It was quite nice.
Was it cold?
It was very cold. That's why I have a little bit of the sniffles right now.
What is very cold in California?
20 degrees.
Fahrenheit.
Yes.
That's not that cold. It's a little bit below freezing.
Yes. Between 20 and 25 degrees.
I mean, you go outside without proper protection, you're going to die. But it'll take a while.
Yeah. And the number one recommendation for bundling up is to cover your face.
Yes. And your head, of course.
Oh, yeah. Most of the heat of your body leaves from your head or your feet.
You know, I actually saw something interesting about this over the break. This team of scientists developed one of the other places you can do heat exchange in your body, apparently, is with the palms of your hands. So one of the problems anesthesiologists have is when they put somebody under anesthesia, general anesthesia, you lose the ability to regulate your body temperature, right? So that's why they put a bunch of warm blankets on you and stuff like that.
This is correct.
What this thing does is they actually put your hands in these gel grips when you're coming out of anesthesia, and they monitor your body temperature. And because there's so much blood flowing through your hands, you can actually cool down or warm up very quickly as a result. I think the military does this.
I too have read the story on tested.com.
Yes, on such sites as tested.com.
On such sites as tested.com. Yes,
and the rest of the internets as well.
Yes.
Yeah, so I stayed at home in New Year's. At Christmas time.
Did not travel?
It's the first time in 12 or 13 years I didn't travel for Christmas, which was really, it was sucked to not see the family, but it was really nice.
Virtual see the family.
We actually use FaceTime. My parents have an Apple TV. We have an Apple TV. We put the FaceTime call up on the TV.
Apple TV on FaceTime, but the camera is still coming from your phone or tablet.
The iPad, yeah.
Is everyone looking away? Is it chins everywhere?
It depended on who you were talking to. So the kids, the younger people, all looked at the phone because they knew to look at the camera.
Oh, so the person who's doing the direct talking looks at the phone or tablet, and then the rest of the people in the room get to share in that experience by looking at the TV.
Yeah, you're the giant face on the TV. But we had them set up so that it was basically like a wide shot of the room. It wasn't like somebody was holding the iPad or the phone or whatever right in front of their face all the time. But it was nice because I got to see my 90-year-old grandmother.
You know, that's not a bad way to hack your FaceTime, is because you can use FaceTime with both the front-facing camera,
yeah,
or the rear camera.
Yeah.
But if you use it on the rear camera and you put something like a wide-angle lens and then throw the video up on the TV, you can then have the entire room talking.
Well, even with the rear-facing camera... like the rear face camera worked well on its own. It's a wide enough lens that if you could get 10 feet back from the group of people, you could see everything you wanted to see. And so we opened presents together across the country, which was kind of weird and lame at first, but it actually worked out quite well. And like I said, my 90-year-old grandmother who has terrible vision, 96-year-old grandmother who has terrible vision, was able to stand 3 feet from the TV and see
and wave
my
and,
wife
and
I
and see the dog.
I think she thought that we were on the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. So
all right,
it worked out.
It's a perfect Apple ad.
Exactly.
You could have taken out the ukulele and sang a song to grandma.
I don't have a ukulele. All right.
What was the best present?
Best present. My mom made a baby blanket for the baby. It's a custom design that she had made for my little sister when she was a kid, when she was born. And it's like the kind of blanket you put down so the kid can kind of flap around in a random place.
How many presents were there between the "I love it" and the "oh my god"?
The horror "oh my god"?
Oh my god, I think is a good thing. "I love it" is the universal sign for "I do not like this present." But the first thing I have to say is "I love it. I love it."
We have the rule in my family about not lying about presents because it ends up making, like, we did that for a while and it was really bad because people just kept getting shit that was worse and worse because everybody thought, oh, they really liked this because we were such convincing liars. So we actually give real feedback on gifts within the family, not outside, of course.
Real feedback.
Honest feedback.
The way to get around that is just to make a list and to share with your family.
Yeah, but that takes all
the
fun
out of it.
These are
the things. You know what? If you, throughout the year, create an Amazon shopping list for yourself,
yes,
wish list for yourself, but do not refer back to it, you will be surprised.
But the thing about that is if I go to Amazon and get to the point where I can add it to a wish list from the page, mm-hmm,
then you might as well.
I'm probably just going to click buy now.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, delayed gratification is not my strong suit, as we've previously discussed.
Nope.
Best gift, Norm? What was your best gift?
Best gifts, probably stuff I bought for myself.
Okay.
I got some random things, candies.
Any good socks? Any stuff like that?
Do you got good socks?
Okay.
Yeah.
I got some board games and expansions for stuff that I like. Worst gift? Do we want to call anybody out?
No.
Okay.
Cash was good. Cash is always good.
Yeah, but I didn't get cash this year.
You know, I actually prefer checks over cash now because checks I can deposit that moment to my bank account.
Oh, you just take the picture?
By taking the picture.
Cash requires
the trip to the bank.
I don't have the picture taking ability on my bank yet. I'm looking forward to that.
Yep. And I have no problem with gift cards now these days. Like
really?
Amazon gift cards, because then that goes straight into the phone, straight into the account.
There you go.
No reason to have to keep gift cards around.
Exactly what you're looking for. We got a ton of baby stuff this year, which was kind of nice because, like, you know, if you're getting clothes that you're not super excited about, then that kind of sucks. But the baby clothes are universally exciting. They're all varied sizes, and apparently they grow out of them in like 3 hours.
You're supposed to.
Yeah.
You can make a quilt out of baby clothes.
Really? So. Why would you? That seems.
What happens to leftover baby clothes?
You give them to somebody else who's having a baby. You find somebody next one down the line. Just keep passing them down.
I guess people keep on having babies. But then how do they keep on selling new baby clothes? People, everyone I know buys new baby clothes.
Well, you have a mixture of both. So we have some stuff that we inherited from Flopsy Space Rocket and some other friends who had babies recently. And then there's some other stuff that we bought or were given as gifts. But, you know, it's not.
And then you keep a very small box of here are the leftover baby things.
Well, some of this stuff.
For the memories.
Some of this stuff is going to last like two wearings probably. So. Because they grow really fast.
Yeah, you want to make sure there's the wearing and the model it, and then
yeah,
babies are like fashion models.
Well, and then like there's the relative that gives you the thing with a lot of ruffles and like a weird. Apparently, baby headbands are a thing for bald girl babies. I think some babies come out bald, and you don't like people are twitchy about having a bald baby, so they have these weird like it's almost like a sweatband with a little gem in the front, and the kid.
Oh, I've seen those. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a corsage for the head.
It is a head corsage. Yeah, that's exactly right.
So it's a little bit of flair.
So lots of baby stuff.
We also did in my house a murder mystery dinner party.
In your house.
My house.
Okay.
A murder mystery dinner party.
I know, every time I've done that, it's been kind of lame.
Yeah, this one was not lame.
Okay.
Maybe that depends on who's there and how people get
did
into it.
Did you wear
it.
Costumes and get everybody
costumes,
got into it?
There were costumes. Everyone did get
was
into it.
Was anyone wearing a monocle?
No monocles. It was 1940s Paris.
Okay.
Some train theme pun thing.
So it's basically Midnight in Paris.
Not Midnight in Paris. That's the Owen Wilson. You're talking about Last Express.
Oh, right. Last Express. Exactly.
It's basically Last Express.
Okay.
Yes.
So,
and that was
so
quite
did
good.
You suss out and find out who the murderer
yes.
was, or did he get away?
No, murder was caught.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you feel like this is something you could do again, or like it's
yo, absolutely.
At this point?
If it was a different kit, you could. The kits are play once only.
Okay.
You buy a kit, have a dinner party, and everyone plays a role.
Now, does somebody play the murder, the victim, or is like the
no,
victim
no one
a
plays
random
the,
person?
No, it's done perfectly so the host can play. Eight
okay.
people can play. They each get an invitation with a very brief description of your role.
Okay.
And it's made for dinner parties. You gather, and then over four courses of a meal or four rounds, each person has a booklet, and there is very light reading, and then it encourages conversation and the sharing of information.
Interesting.
And then there are maps to look at and evidence and clues to bring out.
Who was the murderer? Do you know who if you're the murderer when you come in?
No.
Okay.
No. You can find out information about you changes.
As the game progresses.
And is an exercise in storytelling and evading questioning and, you know, and fishing out information.
Diversion and detection.
Misdirection.
You know, we learned about there's a mystery dinner party thing in Manhattan that Braga went to, actually.
I'm not sure that is a dinner party, but that is definitely a murder, a mystery house.
It's a
play that people pay.
It was fairly expensive.
More than you would pay, I think, for a normal play or musical.
It's what you'd pay for good seats at a normal play. I think it was like $120.
Yes, normal plays yeah. musicals are range between $50 and $200.
Right.
And you walk, it's interactive. So you walk through a house and you walk into rooms and try to listen in onto conversations while it's performance art.
And it changes, it's constantly changing.
You can't see it all at once.
Right, exactly. We found out about that after it was too late to get tickets for our last trip. But I think on the next time we go to Manhattan, I'm going to definitely check that out. Let's talk about tech news because it is hard to believe, but a couple of things happened in the last week. Zipcar this morning. That was great. Sorry, folks at
happen.
Home. Yeah, Norm's sniffly. It's Happy New Year, guys. Zipcar, it has been announced that Avis has made an offer for Zipcar to buy Zipcar. The kind of. It's not exactly car rental. It's like you sign up and get pre-registered, and then you pay $15 and go pick up a car, right? Is kind of the way it works.
Zipcar and City Car Share are the two big ones, at least in the Bay Area. And yes.
It's like an hourly rental?
You pay a annual subscription service. I'm not sure exactly how much it is for the right to, at certain times, it's a timeshare.
Yeah.
Go to any of these lots, and there are quite a few of them in San Francisco, especially in major cities.
Yeah, they're all
where
over.
Then you can just reserve a car. You have to reserve it using an app, or a website, and then you can drive the car and you have it for X number of hours, and you get, you know, fill up the gas.
And do you pay an hourly rate? Is that the way
you pay,
it works?
You pay a rate, but okay. It is a very modest rate.
Compared to $40 a day for a rental.
Exactly. Yeah. But you do pay the annual fee. But the advantage for paying the fee and being a member is that you have access to cars anywhere.
And you don't have to go to the airport or to sit, wait in line at the car rental place, which is always a bad
experience. Many people who live in cities where they don't want to park or don't own a car, who may live close to these lots that have full of cars, you know, they want to do a Costco trip.
They can take your cat to the vet.
You know, it'll cost $20 to get a car for an hour or two and go to Costco and come back.
Yeah. It seems reasonable. So Avis has offered to buy them for $500 million with
a B. That is an extremely generous valuation.
Well, there's two ways to look. So if you look at it based on the profit the company's made, their profit for the first year as a public company is expected to be about $4 million. So yeah, it's incredibly generous in that regard. However, some of the investors are fairly upset because they think it's worth more, frankly, if it develops longer.
I think it's a good fit, and a old traditional car rental company having access to many cars, but not access to a lot of the expertise in renting out lots and zoning and all that kind of, you know, getting parking spaces, and that's what Zipcar and City Car Share excel at.
Well, if they apply Avis's ability to buy a whole shitload of cars at a relatively low price to Zipcar, then it could change the dynamic of that business a lot.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, really interesting. Windows 8 adoption. The first stories have come out about Windows 8 adoption, really, the adoption rate. And it's actually picking up at a slower rate than Vista was, even, which is not good for Microsoft.
Well, Vista was the first big – Vista, I bet if you look at the curve of Vista, it had a massive early adoption rate, which trailed off dramatically.
So you'd think that, but it's actually not the case. I'm sure there's different ways to spin this based on which data you look at. This firm actually looked at adoption rate amongst all Windows PCs.
At this point in the life cycle,
two, right. 3 months in.
So Vista was the first big OS after 95.
No, after XP.
After XP, which is hugely successful.
Right. Windows 95. I mean, if you look at the big releases, it's Windows 95, Windows XP, Windows 7. Over the last 15 years, 18 years.
And between Vista and XP, there was ME?
No. ME was between 98 and XP.
Really?
XP to Windows Vista were the only releases.
O2 was XP then.
O2 was XP.
Oh, yeah.
And there was XP Tablet Edition and XP Media Center. And then there was the big Service Pack 2, after which you basically respun all the disks and got new versions. But XP was it from 2002
to 2007. And many people use XP through all the way to 7.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure there's still people using XP. It'll be supported for another 5 years or something like that. So at this point in the time, Windows Vista was 2.2% of all Windows PCs, was running on 2.2% of all Windows PCs, which doesn't sound like much, but you know, it takes a long time, and a lot of people buy PCs and never upgrade them at all. Windows 8 at this time is 1.9% of all Windows PCs. There's a couple of factors that could key into this. The economy is a lot weaker now than it was in the Vista launch time frame, but also it's a $40 upgrade versus a $99 or $150 upgrade, depending on which version of XP you had. So, you know, it's a little disconcerting. And this was, I think, this data comes from the week before Christmas, maybe. I think it was maybe 2 weeks before Christmas. I can't remember. But it's like mid-December. And there was a sales jump post-Christmas, obviously, as people got new PCs for Christmas. But when you compare it to Windows 7, this is the real damning figure for Windows 8. Windows 7 was at 6.2% of total PC usage.
That's significant.
In the same time period. So
that's in 3 months.
Yeah, it was a much more expensive upgrade. Obviously, it had been longer since a lot of people did skip Vista, especially on a corporate level.
Speaks to the success of Windows 7.
Yeah, I think Windows 7 is probably the outlier rather than Windows Vista or Windows 8. And I think this is what we'll see as Microsoft moves to a more regular update cycle for Windows.
We haven't seen I'm sure they're still selling a lot of Ultrabooks and PC manufacturers selling a lot of Ultrabooks and traditional PCs with Windows 8 now installed on them as default.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen many of the Surface competitors, the tablets, outside of convertibles.
Yeah, it's well, Lenovo has one, has the 11-inch Yoga.
I'm just thinking pure tablets.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see pure tablets. I mean, you use the Surface.
Yeah, so where the pure tablets, that is where Windows 8 will be made.
Well, so this isn't on the list, but Walt Mossberg had posted his list of predictions, and of them,
what are Papa Mossberg's predictions for 2013?
They were very safe. They were very safe. So he said TVs are going to get smarter, but he doesn't think people care.
What is that? What did he qualify? What
he was talking about apps, I think.
Okay, so is he saying that TVs, like smart TVs, apps on TVs are going to take off?
He said they might take off this year. And the qualification was that if Apple does something, then they will take off this year. So, and he thinks that Apple TV adoption is being driven solely by people using iOS and OS X and wanting to pipe that content through to their TV.
So he's saying that people don't actually want to rent, but buy Apple TVs with the intention of renting movies and TV shows.
He thinks that's a side effect to using it as an external monitor.
So having AirPlay, YouTube and AirPlay, yeah, or web browsers and AirPlay, just, or whatever, HTML5 video and AirPlay.
Video games and AirPlay, whatever.
Being extremely convenient. And yeah, then that's a perfectly valid business model for Apple.
Yeah, I mean, a $99 box to add that functionality and to TV seems pretty reasonable.
To be frank, that's why people buy iPads. iPad or even, they don't buy it because they have iTunes on iPad. You buy an iPad because you can browse the web and do things that people consider free.
Yeah.
You know, and media consumption.
And then,
hey, we also have our store attached. You can buy from our store and other people's stores.
Well, I don't think Apple's ever wanted to own. I think Apple owning the store is merely a side effect of Apple wanting to control the hardware, right?
Yes, because they make money on hardware,
right? There was a bunch of other stuff in there, but one of the other things he talked about was tablet sales continuing to eat into laptop sales. He said he thinks both Android and iOS market share will increase over the next year, as it eats into low end laptop and netbook sales.
Do you think Apple TV was mistakenly priced $99 Apple TV, because they can't now release another Apple TV unless it is a huge difference? And because Apple TV at $99 is not a margin maker the same way the iPad and Macs are, it is, by all counts, I mean, look at the landscape, it is cheap.
Yeah.
So that they can sell you content, which is not how Apple traditionally operates.
I think it's cheap because that's what people were willing to pay, because boxes like the Roku and
that has never stopped Apple from charging way more on their products. AirPlay being as compelling as it is, like if you said, here's a Roku, which does Netflix and all these other things, and here's an Apple TV, which is all those things. Remember, Rokus were at one point $100,
$150
yeah, bucks, but now had to drop their price lower
to $59
to compete with a $99 Apple TV. We thought the $99 Apple TV was a shockingly great price. If Apple had kept the Apple TV at $200, whatever the higher price, with a higher margin, and sold it as a premium streaming device with AirPlay being its marquee feature, I think they would have a better business model going forward if they wanted to launch Apple TV as a great piece of hardware, great experience, and then get people slowly to buy their media.
Well, it's kind of but I think the adoption rate of that is going to be much slower. You look at like the TiVo Stream is analogous to that, although they don't have a store hooked to that, obviously. It's a $130 device that adds functionality that arguably should already be integrated in the DVR to your TiVo ecosystem in your house. And there are people who are willing to pay for that. I didn't hesitate to shell out $130 to get the ability to stream recordings from my DVR and live TV to my iPad. But that's a tough sell for a lot of people.
And also, just in terms of set-top boxes are, and as companies like WD will tell you, great for the first year, not so great the second year, because people don't buy new ones.
There's a 1080p Apple TV out now. There's no reason to upgrade that until something compelling happens.
Right.
I think the reason Apple priced that at $99 is because that is an ecosystem. That is a situation where having scale matters, because the thing that they need to get out of that isn't people buying Apple TVs or people buying iTunes stuff from iTunes. They need to get app licensing deals for that platform, and they're not going to get that if they don't have scale.
They don't need to get people. They want those in homes, and they are going in homes because it is $99. They don't, and whether I don't know whether people are actually renting stuff from Apple TV in the quantities that they are renting from other
places.
They're
probably renting like more on phones and tablets than they are on Apple TV.
And watching way more on Netflix and other apps and Hulu Plus. But they need that quantity out there to go to CBS.
HBO and CBS.
And content partners and say, we have this. We are already in the homes.
Here is the roll up on number of eyeballs we have in homes. Yeah. What do you use to watch Netflix now, Norm?
I use Apple TV.
Okay. Yeah, so do we usually.
Yeah. Xbox experience was terrible.
They fucked it up really bad.
And also it's power drain. You need low processor.
Yeah. Do you subscribe to others? Do you use Amazon Instant or anything like that?
I have it, but I do not use it that much.
I use it on Roku occasionally, but that's about it. Let's talk about laptops and netbooks, because netbooks fit into this thing that's being eaten into by tablet sales. A report came out and said, well, actually, it wasn't a report. Acer and Asus have stopped making netbooks.
Asus, the creator of the netbook craze.
Yes.
Let's go roll back 5 years to 2008.
Oh, I remember when we were talking about how shitty these were.
And it was a brilliant feat of marketing that these OEMs realized that they could. There was a place to sell $500, $400 to $500 computers that were small and light and use basically a new class of processor from Intel, the Atom processor, which was
woefully underpowered.
It was intentionally. It was a budget processor that was using basically architecture from years ago. They were selling.
It's a Pentium 3 architecture, right?
They're using dated architecture in a maybe a new process and selling it really cheap, and so OEMs could then bundle it with a cheap package with a crappy screen and get people computers for $400.
Well, but just because it was an old architecture doesn't mean it was bad. The COLV stuff and most of the modern Intel processors were
intentionally clocked down, and I mean these were low power was key to Atom, and performance-wise, they were not targeting anywhere near CLV.
So was Atom Intel looking at the rising ARM infrastructure ecosystem and saying, hey, we need to have something that's low power?
I'm not sure if that was the genesis for Atom. That is definitely where Atom is now.
Yeah.
I don't know if they got caught up in the quantities of netbook that were sold.
Yeah, because netbooks were a huge thing in 2008 and 2009, yes, even into 2010.
So you imagine the market before 2008, and what we had were really expensive ultra portables.
Yeah, if you wanted a 3-pound laptop, it was going to cost $2,000 or more.
And it wasn't very good. It wasn't probably very good either.
Yeah.
You had really expensive MacBook Air. You had.
And a not very good MacBook Air either, right. Just to be clear. That first-gen MacBook Air was
bad. And most computers that students and people at home were buying, laptops that they're buying, were maybe $1,000 was the average price, and you would get something like a Dell 510M or something, one of those computers.
Yeah, and if you went to $799 or $699, then you were looking at AMD-based.
You know, £4, those are
five
okay.
Pounds, probably.
£4 to £5. Yeah. You know, we're talking about maybe a 13-inch screen. That was still considered portable because we're going down from the big 15-inch, like 15-inch heavy laptops.
Yeah, in 2007, 2006, 15-inch was the default probably. And it was a 15-inch 4x3.
And it was a 15-inch big screen because it was it needed a big body to have the battery and to have
cooling.
Yes.
All that stuff.
So the first clamshell netbooks at $500, it looked like something like...
Well, it was the Asus EEPad and the HP Mini, whatever. I can't remember what that one was called. But they were kind of originally pitched as PCs for education. That this is the laptop you issue your students when they come into your school.
Yeah.
And they're relatively indestructible. They had 4, 5, 6 hour battery life. And we're good enough to take notes and view
kind of browse the web. They would do the quote unquote the essentials.
They didn't really browse the web.
They would do the essentials really poorly. And I knew a lot of people who bought netbooks thinking this is an easy, cheap way. There are two people who bought netbooks, two types of people. People who actually wanted a cheap $400 computer as their primary computer because they didn't want to pay more, $400 to $500. And they would do the essentials because that's all they needed.
Right.
And people who bought netbooks as their third computer, maybe have a desktop and as their primary computer, and they wanted something to play around with. And those people had fun installing, you know, stripping down OSs, the bare minimums, running Ubuntu, and really helped open source Linux OSs.
Kind of. I mean, although if you look at what happened with the Linux versions of those tablets, most of them, they had the highest return rates of any retail computer sold in like 10 years. Best Buy didn't carry Linux laptops after the first year
because netbooks?
People returned them. Yeah.
I think they did the essentials too.
Well, they said they did the essentials, but your mom couldn't figure out how to run the web browser.
That's the second class of people who did that, knew what they were getting into and installed Ubuntu over Windows.
Everyone
said, all the analysts said, shit, this is the future. Everyone should be making netbooks.
Well, they were right about sub-$1,000 laptops being the future.
They were talking about $500 laptops.
At that point, a $500 netbook was a pretty expensive netbook. The problem fundamentally with them is that they weren't fast enough to really browse the web. I mean, that if you boil down, if you looked at what the problems were, they were shipping, because of the way Microsoft was licensing Windows, they weren't shipping with enough memory. So the CPUs were incapable of web browsing.
So theoretically, the model of netbook is something that's about half the price of the current standard price of a laptop. You're sacrificing
an entry laptop.
You're sacrificing power.
Yep, full size keyboard probably.
And you're emphasizing size, weight, and price,
and battery life. They were pitching battery life real hard,
and battery life. But the things you sacrifice are power.
Yeah.
So that model failed because the one thing you sacrifice, power, also meant you sacrifice usability. And if you can't use something you buy, it's not going to succeed.
So we're going to talk about Marco Arment now?
No, I mean, everyone's written about, netbooks are dead because people were not happy with them because they couldn't use them.
Right.
Because the one thing they sacrificed to get down to that cost was usability.
It's the same problem the Kindle Fire had last year.
And the reason that tablets took over the netbooks because it sacrificed similar things, right? It sacrificed
flexibility.
Weight was emphasis, but it did not sacrifice, and price was an emphasis, low price, but did not sacrifice usability, at least in some categories of tablets.
Well, the difference is you could browse the web. I mean, that
and you could do email and browse the web.
I mean, you could do email on a netbook. You can't browse the web on a netbook, in my experience. The screens are both too narrow and too short, and the processor was too slow.
And you couldn't do it reasonably well.
It was a bad experience. If you were used to using a moderately powered desktop or laptop PC, it was a bad experience.
And that's because they all ran, the ones that ran Windows, you tried to use it like a real PC. You tried to have two tabs open, and then both tabs would be really, really slow.
Right.
And that's why over the very first-gen tablets, whether it was the iPad or an Android tablet, you try to have multiple web browsers open, web tabs open, and it was also really, really slow.
Well, it just saves state and closes the background, basically. So then the question is this the same thing going to happen with tablets? And Marco Arment was, of course, trolling the iOS fans that follow him on Twitter the other day by talking about by comparing $200 netbook Android tablets to netbooks, which I thought was a pretty unfair comparison.
What did he say about cheap Android tablets?
He just basically said, look, the $200 Android tablets are the next generation of netbooks.
So they're going to go away in 3 years.
They're going to be the thing that
you put
in your
drawer. Okay, let's use the de facto $200 Android tablet.
So the 16-gig Nexus 7.
16-gig Nexus 7 now.
Yeah.
I can browse the web with that.
That's the difference.
I can surf the web. I can watch video perfectly fine.
Do the Twitters.
I can do Twitter. I can do email. I can do the essentials, which... For $200, it can do more than what I expect for $200, and it's light and has long battery life.
Yeah, I think that's why I think it's an unfair comparison. Anyway, netbooks are dead. I don't miss them. I thought they were shit to begin with. I it's unfortunate because if they had come 2 years later or Microsoft hadn't done the janky licensing that they did with that, then it could have been a completely different situation.
And you know what? Windows 8, in many ways, is the right OS for a netbook.
The ARM version of Windows 8?
ARM version of Windows 8.
Maybe.
It's designed to be lightweight, long power, long battery lasting.
It prevents you from doing anything that's going to tax the processor.
Single process.
Yeah.
Only. And fit for the small form factors and touch.
Speaking of Microsoft, do you know what Bill Gates' kids asked Santa for this year?
Apparently, they asked for iPads.
iPads. Do you know what they got for Christmas this year?
Surfaces.
Surfaces.
How old are Bill Gates' kids?
They got to be 10 or 12 now.
They got to be much older than that.
No. He didn't get married until the 2000s.
You think I don't know exactly how old Bill Gates' kids are. But if they are in their tweens, that's got to be the worst growing pains ever.
Oh, yeah. Look at this awesome Surface. I got an extra large backpack to carry it.
My dad's like the fifth richest person in the world right now, and no iPads for us.
He married Melinda French in January 1994. Three daughters, born 96, 2002, and 99, and a son. So
okay,
three
so
children,
around
two
the
daughters,
2000s,
and a son.
They're on their mid-teens.
Yeah,
they're
man.
The perfect age for iPads.
Yeah, and of course,
although you know, maybe not so bad. Maybe they all got Surface Pros. I'd be excited to get a Surface Pro.
Yeah, Surface Pro, I could get behind. I guess.
Yeah, Surface Pro.
Do they get the keyboard then?
And an HTC 8X. That'd be good.
Okay, I suppose.
Yeah, it's not a bad year. But you know what they wouldn't be getting.
This is a year that is an age that is not good to stand out. You want to have the same shit that all the other kids
have. No, it's good to stand out if you have the best. If you have a Surface Pro and you're doing all sorts of cool shit on it, and you're playing League of Legends.
I don't think that if you're 13 years old, you would consider an iPad the best.
Well, how about this? Now that there's no Zune, are they allowed to get iPods?
I doubt it.
iPod Touches.
It seemed like the answer was no.
What would they use? No music? I guess phones.
I guess the
Xbox Music.
Hey, man, you can listen to your musics on your Surface Pro. You don't need an MP3 player anymore. Just wait for that thing to load. Give it a few seconds.
Where are the lines drawn? In the Gates household. Well, are they allowed to use Google Docs?
The quote from Melinda Gates was, "We don't buy purchase products from our competitors." So that means they're using Office and Office Live, and I'm sure they have their Outlook.com email addresses. And
that is a terrible I understand like the philosophy and why you do that, because yes, you support your
company,
your family.
Yeah, they
founded Microsoft.
Yeah,
but they also do not run Microsoft right now. They're too busy doing charitable things around the world.
Yeah, but do you think that the Standard Oil, do you think the Rockefellers don't buy gas from Exxon? Standard Oil, of course they buy gas from Exxon.
Not after they retired. They are doing more important things. Are they not allowed to use Facebook or Amazon?
So I
or Google?
At a company, well, the Facebook they have a partnership with. So yeah,
okay, yes,
they can't use the Twitters though.
See, that's
and probably
Bill Gates uses
probably
Twitter.
They're all binging it up.
But Bill Gates uses Twitter.
Well, so does Melinda. But that doesn't mean that they're right. Do as I say, not as I do, Norm. I knew a guy once who worked for a boat company, and he wanted a ski boat, but the company that he worked for didn't sell ski boats.
Okay.
Like an inboard, the kind of thing you saw in behind
but a direct competitor.
He went and bought a boat from another boat manufacturer that didn't even sell, that only sold ski boats. So no competition across any product line. He went and bought the competitor's boat and was terminated.
No, but why was it a competitor if there was no competition?
Because they still made boats. He bought a boat from a company that didn't. They were a competitor in that they both sold boats. 6 months later, they bought that company. The company that sacked him. Yeah. People get crazy about this stuff.
What do you think? I think Paul Allen probably buys all sorts of iPads.
I bet Paul Allen buys whatever the fuck he wants. He buys the Seattle Supersonics. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
He's Paul Allen.
Exactly. I think Bill Gates should care less.
Bill Gates is a Microsoft guy. Through and through. Even when he was retired, he's still chairman of the board, isn't he?
I think he's still on the board.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's chairman.
Anyway. Last year, we already talked about this, so I'm not going to ask a question. Reddit served 37 billion page views last year. That is bananas.
The more I was thinking of it, and I saw Idiocracy was on TV, Reddit has become that channel, Groin the Balls channel.
Oh.
Ball in the Groin channel.
Ball in the Groin.
Groin the Balls.
Ouch, yeah. Ouch my balls.
Ouch my balls. Yeah. Reddit has become Ouch my balls.
You think that's but the thing is, Reddit is what you make of it. If you turn off Advice Animals and WTF, then you don't see Ouch My Balls.
How much money would someone make? I bet I could make a ton of money with an app. It wouldn't even need to be a set-top box. An app that all did was you turn on AirPlay and it pumps one item, images and video, one after another on your TV.
You can do that right now.
On Reddit.
You can subscribe automatically, to an RSS feed.
Automatically.
Yeah.
Pump it up and then there's two buttons or three buttons on your phone. One is an upvote, one is a downvote, and one is a repost. This is a repost. And that's it. And you, it's like Pandora up.
So it's
down.
Like YouTube's side seat model where you can remote control the Apple TV.
And as soon as you press one of those three buttons, either vote up or vote down, or that's a fucking repost. It could be the next thing.
Fucking repost. If you mash the repost button, do you post? Does it say this is a fucking repost?
Automatically submits a comment and goes repost. Knights of New repost.
Wow.
That app would destroy America.
Yeah, we'd just all be sitting in. We'd have Barca lounges with toilets built in.
Yeah, Ouch My Balls.
Well, Idiocracy's the better. The more the as we progress further, the closer it gets to the truth. iOS's Do Not Disturb didn't turn off automatically today or yesterday for many people.
You know, it's the best feature I don't use on iOS.
Do Not Disturb.
Do Not Disturb.
I use it. It's fantastic.
Don't use it.
It means I can leave email notifications on, but it doesn't buzz my phone at 3 o'clock in the morning when some jackass.
I've learned to sleep past it. I don't think I've ever woken up in the middle of the night because of the phone buzz. Also, it doesn't buzz my phone until I check the time. Then it starts downloading.
Oh, you must not have push on. You must only pull.
Maybe I push at irregular intervals or something.
It's worth noting, if you are using Exchange to sync your iPhone, Windows phone, or I guess not Android phone, that doesn't work anymore as of today.
So, not unless you pay.
Unless you pay $50 a seat per year.
Per year.
And you can't pay if you're a Gmail user, is my understanding.
Only if you have a custom
Google
account.
Only you have to have Google apps for your domain, yeah. PS2 production? It's over. The dream is dead.
No more PS2s. No more new PS2s. 13 years.
I was surprised by this, frankly.
You knew that they were still making PS2s?
I didn't know that they were still making PS2s.
They still sell PS2s.
Well, I knew they still sold them, but I figured
it's a great DVD player. If you want to pay $150 bucks for a DVD player.
Terrible DVD player for $150. And it has the top load now, doesn't it? This is the PS3 redesign. Yeah.
Is it still PS2 Slim?
My PS2 Slim has a top load, too. Doesn't it? I can't remember. I put Katamari and Guitar Hero in there, and that was all I ever played on that. Basically, Shadows of the Colossus.
One of the best consoles ever.
I think it has to go up there with the SNES as like it's number two. I think on my list, probably. If I was picking consoles, like I want to love the NES.
I'm not going to go so far as to make bold statements.
If you go back and look at those NES games, the percentage of shit NES games to good NES games is real, real bad.
I would say the same thing with PS2, just by sheer quantity of PS2 games.
Yeah, but the highs 11, on the PS2 are so good.
No, you're talking about sheer quantity.
Mm.
Ratio-wise, yes, they might be higher highs, but with 11,000 games, I do not think they were 40% great games.
At least Sony approved all of them. With the Nintendo, there was a whole boatload of bootleg carts out there that were sold in stores and were real bad games. Real bad. You don't remember.
No.
NES was dark.
I only picked the good games.
Well, right. How did you find out about good games in the NES? Did you read Nintendo Power?
Nintendo Power.
Right.
It's a member of the club.
Enjoy Blaster Master. Blaster. Whatever that was a shit game. Let's say it right now. I don't care what you guys think. If your iOS Do Not Disturb isn't turning off automatically for you, it will work correctly again after January 7th, according to Apple. I don't know why. They always have these problems. Why do they always have these problems, Norm?
I don't know. I have noticed though iOS is a little buggier in this latest version, or has been on both my iPad and iPhone.
How so?
Just things won't tap either in message app. To close the app. completely.
That GoPro app tends to lock up the iPhone to the point that it like you have to do a hard reset occasionally. I found I've been using it a lot.
I've had my phone auto reset.
Oh, I've not had that. Have you installed the latest update, the 6.0.2 or whatever it was?
Yes.
Okay, I haven't done that yet either. I think as the iOS and Android for that matter get more complicated, more complex, they're going to become less and less reliable, which is kind of unfortunate because it's the good part about those embedded OSs.
Well, we'll see what next iOS 7, which is currently being tested. Surprise, surprise, Apple. Surprise! They're working on next version of iOS. Really? I'm sure it was already well under development by the time Forstall left. But what will be surprising is whether they release it this year or they push back.
They'll release new iOS with new hardware.
Okay.
Question is no doubt.
Okay. We should do predictions because we have not done predictions.
Yeah, and Gary's not here for a while, so maybe we'll do predictions. Well, I can if Gary's on next week when you guys are gone, I'll do predictions with him.
We need to at least recall old predictions.
Yes, I have a spreadsheet.
You should pull that up. Because we're already the second / third.
So here's the problem. Last year, we went in an order. So it caused
problems. We all went around.
Right. And if you were last, you had no predictions left.
No whining about.
I'm not whining. I'm just saying.
What is this, a draft? Oh,
I think it's important.
Someone else got RG3.
So last year, we did some predictions.
Yes.
You predicted.
Okay. Did I start off?
You were the first to predict. Went first, which was a big advantage in my book.
Oh, my goodness. The easiest prediction.
You said iPad 3 will launch with a Retina screen in early 2012.
My goodness.
The iPhone 4 came out.
My goodness.
Yes.
My goodness.
You were correct.
I was correct that the iPad 3 came out with a Retina
screen.
There
will be a second SKU of the iPad in 2012. You were double correct on that one because there were three SKUs of the iPad.
Oh, wait. Are you going just through my predictions?
I'm just doing yours right now.
Okay, so my first prediction was that the iPad 3 would have a Retina screen.
Yes.
The only technically incorrect part of that prediction is it was not called the iPad 3. It was called the new iPad.
Yeah, and they called it a Retina screen even though it wasn't the same resolution as the iPhone 4's Retina
screen.
Totally
called that. Okay, my second prediction was that there would be a second iPad SKU.
Yes.
And there were two more.
There were actually three more because they did the new iPad 2 as well. So you had...
Yeah, they did a new, like... It was still called the iPad 2.
It was
2.
A new SKU, though. The point is there's a shitload of SKUs of iPad. There were two new models of the iPad. There were three new models of the iPad in 2012. The iPad 3rd gen, the iPad 4th gen, and the mini. So
yes.
You are correct.
Okay.
Your next prediction was that Windows 8 will be awesome on tablets but fail on desktops. I would say that is incorrect because it is not awesome on tablets.
Yeah, I repeat from earlier in this podcast, we have not seen Windows 8 on tablets yet.
Yes, we have. We have a Surface right here. Is the Surface awesome? Yes or no?
I would not qualify it as awesome.
Okay, so then that is an incorrect answer.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Microsoft.
Apple will sell a physical Apple-branded TV. They will also sell a revamped Apple TV set-top box. I believe that they did sell the Apple TV 1080p, so that is one correct in there, but they did not sell an Apple physical-branded TV.
I'm rolling that into this year.
Okay, so you're doubling down on
that.
Okay.
I'm not doubling down on the Microsoft on the Windows 8 is going to be awesome on tablets.
No, that's a death wish.
No, not doubling
mistakes
down
were
that.
Made there.
Nope.
I mean, in fairness, you made this before we saw the preview of Windows 8 at CES,
and we had no idea how it would go before we saw the Surface. Even knew the Surface was going to be announced.
Right. PlayStation Vita will be as successful as the 3DS in the United States by units sold. You could not be more profoundly wrong.
At that point, I thought 3DS was a bomb.
At that point, 3DS hadn't come out yet. 3DS came out in March.
Last year,
yeah.
No way.
So 3DS has sold many multiple millions of units. PlayStation Vita has sold like 8.
Sucks for the Vita. Okay.
It does suck for the Vita. New Kindle Fire tablet will be released that fixes the issues with the original Fire. Absolutely correct.
Many, many versions of the Kindle
multiple
Fire.
Kindle Fires.
Okay.
Amazon Prime will become more compelling. Now, this is a tricky one.
Way more compelling.
Instant streaming was in 2011, not 2012. So So it was already more compelling when you made this prediction.
No, but it's library, all the deals. The front page, Jeff Bezos, letters to dear customers.
I'm going to ask the audience to give us a vote on this one and see what they think in comments. Because I think that the big compulsion was when they added instant streaming.
Is Amazon Prime, the service, which has remained the same price, is it not more compelling? Was it not more compelling in 2012 than 2011?
I think that what I'm going to say is I think that semantically you are correct. It is more compelling than it was in 2012 and 2011. I would say it is not measurably more compelling.
Absolutely measurably. X number more movies. I would say Netflix as a service, probably less compelling.
I don't know. I think you're picking nits at this point. You said that there will be no Facebook phone in 2012.
No Facebook phone in 2012.
I thought HTC made a Facebook phone.
Nope.
Didn't they have a phone with a Facebook button on it? They called the Facebook phone?
Facebook did not make a phone.
HTC Facebook phone.
HTC may have had a phone with better access to Facebook, but it was not a Facebook phone.
Oh, nope. It's been put, the rumor has been pushed to mid-2013 now. 4K TVs will start appearing in 2012. You are correct that 4K TVs appeared. Yep. I think that they're extremely high prices. You didn't qualify price, so that is
they've definitely started appearing.
That is a crush. And then your last one, another slam dunk, is the next iPhone will be LTE capable. Absolutely correct there. Yes. So by my tally, that gives you 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe if we count the Amazon Prime, 4, 5, 6, 7 corrects.
Seven corrects.
Some of them were fairly obvious. New iPad SKU in 2012. Okay.
If they were obvious, why did I hear other people
call
them out?
Well, because you dibsed. Okay, so do you want to go over Gary's stuff since he's not here to defend
himself?
Let's
go over Gary's stuff.
2012 was the year that other competitors will take market share from Apple in the tablet market. That is correct.
That is definitely
Nexus
correct.
Nexus 7 and Kindle Fire both took market share in 2012. 2012 will be the breakthrough year for a la carte.
But technically, the market also got bigger.
The market did get bigger, but Apple's market share decreased, which implies that other people's market share increased. That was difficult to not do since they had most of the market share going into 2012.
Sure. Easy call.
Yeah, that's a safe one. 2012 will be the breakthrough year for a la carte internet TV.
No.
I think that's a nope. The next IMAX will still have optical drives, but those will be phased out in 2013. I think that's a nope.
Because the new IMAX released in 2012, the one Gary has right now.
No optical drive. Wii U will do better than the Wii long term. Now, long term, we can't judge that for this year. Because it's not been long term.
At launch.
Not looking good.
Not looking very good.
No, no, no. Not looking
especially
good.
Everyone tweeting photos of extra copies of Wii U in stores.
And honestly, I don't think that's fair. I think that people tweeting pictures, I think people looking at a product being in on store shelves at the holiday as a sign of failure is real. It's a real weird way to look at things. Because we'd say that their launch was a failure if you couldn't find them, like we did with the Wii. Like, they can't win. If they're going to put enough in channel that people can buy all they want, like, they can't.
I think it depends on the case-to-case basis. And in the case where we're talking about the Wii U, where most of the internal hardware is hardware that's not difficult to manufacture, and they had a long lead time.
Okay.
Then definitely.
Right.
And in the case where it's something maybe that the word yields are low, you know, something like graphics cards.
Well, when we were looking at Microsoft with the Xbox 360, when you couldn't get those for the first 4 months that they were out, you know, that was a failure on Microsoft's part. They could have sold a lot more Xboxes. I mean, it ended up being a good thing they didn't, because they would have just had to pay people to replace those eventually. But, you know, I think that's a can't. I think you can't win if you're going to complain that there's that they're if people are bitching that they're in stores and also. They would complain if they couldn't buy them. I think that's real weird.
Okay.
Now, we got a lot of fails in a row here. Next generation Xbox will be announced at E3 2012. Nope.
Sorry, Gary.
A better version of Kinect will be announced as well. Also, nope. Next generation Xbox will be backwards compatible with the previous version of Kinect. We don't know that. I think that's a no.
Wow, he stacked on these.
Right. The default Xbox will have Kinect packed in. That is correct. But I think he was talking about the next generation Xbox in that case. PlayStation Vita will be a dud. I think it's probably too soon to say.
I'm going to give Gary that one.
But I think that's probably a yes. I got to mark these double nopes here. A Facebook will have a redesign and people will complain about it. I think that's probably a yes timeline people complained about. And it was a substantial redesign to your Facebook homepage that happened in 2012.
Okay.
I mean, do you disagree?
No, I agree.
Google Plus will continue to flounder.
I would say
that is probably true.
Yep.
Twitter will continue to grow.
Yeah, that's true.
That's pretty safe. 3D will seriously decline in 2012.
I would say that's also
that is
true.
Correct. There will be a good Nexus tablet in 2012.
That's
also
true.
Correct. Counter prediction. He believes that Android OEMs will double down on proprietary skins.
Oh, no.
That is not true, because even though they still have proprietary skins, they are much closer to the core Android experience. Only very unnoticeable differences, I would say. And he says that Apple will launch a revamped Apple TV, but there will be no branded TV from Apple.
Mm.
That is correct.
So Gary is correct on that.
So Gary has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 out of like 13 correct.
Wait, no way.
Gary has 9 correct. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
No. You're like including mine or something.
No, I'm not. He did. This is what I was complaining about. How many waited until everybody did their guesses
No. He had all those wrong Xbox ones. How could he have 9 correct ones?
Well, only three wrong Xbox ones. The default version did have Kinect packed in.
I don't think you can include that because I think he meant the new Xbox.
So then does that a no or
That's
is that
no.
just a nothing? So then it's 5 incorrects. 1, 2, 3.
Did he make more predictions than everyone else?
6, 7. He made a shitload of predictions.
Wow.
7 to 9.
Okay.
Not 9 correct, 7 wrong.
Okay.
If I counted right.
Okay.
Okay, so then mine were a major Android provider will go stock Android and drop their proprietary skin. Nope. Windows 8 will be released by holiday 2012. I took an easy one. Windows Phone 7 market share will grow in 2012. NPD says yes. It's kind of an easy one.
Okay.
There will be no optical drives in any Apple computer released in 2012. They did re-release the 15-inch MacBook Pro
with an optical drive.
I think that that's a technicality because they didn't release any new products with an optical drive. But I'll take a no on that one. I think that it's...
The spirit of your guess was that optical drive would be gone in all Apple products in 2012.
Yes. I stand by that. I think that that happened. Next generation Xbox will be announced in fall 2012 and will be released in spring 2013. Nope. This will be the last gaming generation with optical drives, meaning this next generation will
Do
be
not
the last
know.
One. We have no way to tell that. There will be a shift toward online purchasing toward the end of this console generation. I think that's a yes.
With Wii.
Vita,
sure.
3DS, yes. and Wii U all have day and date titles with varying levels of completion. A new 3DS will be launched towards holiday 2012. That is correct. The 3DS XL came out the last half of the year.
Okay.
Amazon will start selling pharmaceuticals. That is a no. They sell over-the-counter drugs, which are pharmaceuticals, but I meant prescription stuff. Counter prediction, PlayStation Vita will do as well as the PSP. I think that that's correct.
PSP was much more popular.
If you look at sales numbers, it's real close, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put a no. If Apple TV releases a branded TV, the guts will be removed from the TV. That's an NA because there's no Apple TV. And Twitter will screw up the things that made it successful. That's a yes. I think that that is correct.
What did Twitter screw up?
The third-party API stuff. Third-party apps.
Okay.
Yeah. So I have 6 correct and 1, well, that one doesn't count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 wrong. So batting 500 basically. So yeah, those are predictions from last year.
As prognosticators of the future,
I think we did an okay job. Some real head scratchers. I wonder what we were thinking back in. We must have been delirious with Christmas power last year. I think we should do predictions next week. I don't think we should do predictions now. Oh, we got to do predictions before CES though.
I do have to do predictions.
I'm already tired of this idea though. Okay, give me predictions, Norm.
All right, here are some rapid fire predictions.
Hold on, I'm going to make a new tab. Explaining what's happening. Okay.
Rapid fire predictions?
Norm and I will take turns making predictions and then we agree or disagree. Statement.
Okay.
Okay.
I predict that Apple release a branded TV, Apple branded TV in 2013?
In 2013 from Apple. I think that that is a correct. I agree. I think it'll happen. I think they'll announce it in March at what was the iPad event. I think that there will be new consoles announced by both Sony and Microsoft this year.
I also agree. These are so far not very controversial. I predict, we have to be way more specific too. I predict that Apple will release their next full-size iPad will have the same resolution screen, but will only be thinner and lighter and faster.
Is thinner and lighter and faster. I think that that is correct. I think that they have
the question is thinner and lighter. Is that March or September?
September. Apple, I'll do this one. Apple iPad event is September.
I'm going to make a prediction.
You think they're going to do another one in March?
I think that there will be a thin iPad. That thin iPad I just mentioned will be in March, and the Retina iPad mini will be September.
In March. Yes, I think there's no iPads in March. I think iPad mini Retina is in September.
Okay, make your prediction for the next iPhone.
I think the next iPhone is called the iPhone 5S and is a marginal improvement with NFC.
What are those improvements?
It's the 4G. It's the iPad 4 CPU clock down. That's it. I think it's a super boring product.
So you think it's clock speed and NFC?
I think it's clock speed and NFC. Hold on. iPhone 5S is clock speed and NFC.
No, and I think that it's clocks. I'm going to say it's not going to be only those things.
Hold on, I said iPad mini Retina is this September, right?
Yes, you did.
You disagree?
No, I said iPad mini September. I said new full-size iPad.
I think you're crazy March. For thinking there's two iPad events. Do you agree or disagree with the 5S?
I think the 5S will have more than just NFC and higher clock speed. I think they are going to tout a software feature unique to the 5S.
Oh, I would agree with that.
That will anchor the 5S launch.
So Siri style. Well, that would be NFC would be a feature unique to the 5S. To anchor phone. Okay. I think iOS. Do you think Apple Maps is going to get better?
Yes, but that's the easy prediction.
Okay, I think that Apple will face criticism from the federal government for not allowing users to change default applications on iOS.
Okay, that's a bold prediction.
Federal government or a lawsuit.
Will that affect any change?
No. About default location selection. Do you agree or disagree?
I disagree.
Okay.
I predict that Motorola will make the next Nexus phone.
So next December?
Or sooner.
I think that's probably fair. I will agree with that. I predict that Google Glass will be disappointing.
If it even comes out this year.
It's not going to come out this year, but I mean even the dev kits will be disappointing. I'll say Google Glass dev kits will be
disappointing. Is very broad.
Will kind of suck.
Also very broad.
Will not work well at all.
Okay.
You agree?
I agree more specifically in its ability to in the user's desire to see ambient data.
Well, okay. Not be good at ambient data. Okay. Got anything?
Now we're getting into the
you talk about
details.
Movies? You want to talk about?
No, we got to talk about
Android.
Very specifically, technology.
Talk about Windows. Talk about WinFo.
Windows Phone's tough.
You want to talk about?
No. Let's not be afraid to make predictions. I predict that Windows Phone will increase its will continue gaining market share this year, and Microsoft will not give up on it.
Okay, I think that's probably super duper safe. Yes and yes. I predict that Windows 9 will look dramatically different than Windows 8.
Wow. Are you saying no start screen specifically?
I think that the start screen will either go away or have a significant change.
Wow.
I think, actually, I'm going to be bolder. I think that Microsoft is going to make significant changes to the modern / Metro design style with the next version of Windows.
I disagree. I predict that at least two car manufacturers will have or will make announcements to have fully electric cars, not in the same way that the Volt was, but the way the Tesla is.
Are you going to license Tesla technology?
I think at least two car manufacturers will announce...
will make electric cars.
Electric cars, fully electric cars.
So does Nissan count since they already have the Leaf?
At least two new announcements.
Oh, new announcements. Okay, I think that's safe. Do you think... I think that Virgin Galactic will launch Spaceship 2 this year.
I disagree.
To suborbit, not to orbit. Have a suborbital flight this year. No, yes. Okay.
Well, what are the big trends of 2013? What are going to be the buzz things of 2013 that everyone's going to talk about?
I do not think smart TVs are going to be a buzz phrase of 2013. You know what? I'll go out. How about Apple? I think when Apple releases a TV, I think it's going to not exceed sales expectations.
Ooh, okay.
If Apple releases its own TV.
And if Apple does not, this counts as a wrong.
If Apple is not, it's a no, it's an NA.
Wow, okay. It's like side
bets. I already have a wrong like, for...
These are side bets.
I already have a wrong because I said that there'll be... I agreed when you said there'll be a branded TV from Apple this year. I think it will not exceed sales expectations as set by... you do agree or disagree?
I disagree.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of the big four companies.
We haven't talked about Amazon much at all.
I think that Amazon Prime will be even more compelling in 2013 than it was in 2012.
You're such a troll. Amazon Prime will be more compelling in 2013 than it was in 2012. I think that's a pretty easy yes and yes. I agree with that.
I think that next year is the last year of CES.
2014 will be the final CES. I think that 2013 might be the final CES. I'm going to let you say yes. I'm going to say no. I think that the Kindle Paperwhite will... I think that this year Amazon will iterate on the Paperwhite rather than release a whole new ebook reader.
I don't know what that means.
I think that the next version will be the Paperwhite 2 or just the Paperwhite, the new Paperwhite or something like that. Like, I think that the ebook reader has matured.
That is extremely broad and vague.
Okay.
How about, why don't you say you think that the next Kindle will not say Paperwhite, but will just have Paperwhite technology built in?
E-ink Kindle.
Next e-ink Kindle will not even need the Paperwhite moniker. So are you saying that there will be no Kindle without Paperwhite?
No, what I'm saying is that the Paperwhite is the default Kindle going forward. That they'll bring that down to the cheap one, the high end. I got it. There will only be one Kindle next year. There will be no distinction between high-end e-ink and cheap e-ink.
Okay.
So the Paperwhite will be the cheap Kindle next year.
I will say I'll disagree. And I'll say this year Amazon will release a color Kindle.
That's the Fire.
I think they'll release a color e-ink Kindle.
Okay, hold on. So you disagree with that one. I agree with that one. Amazon.
I think we'll see color e-ink.
An e-ink, a color
I'll say color e-ink from a major e-ink e-book manufacturer. So whether it's Barnes & Noble or Amazon or Sony, one of them will release a color e-ink e-book reader.
Book manufacturer. Okay. Color e-ink reader. Okay.
Make a prediction about 3D printing or CNC. There are many more topics to cover.
I think teaching CAD is much more important than 3D printing.
That's not a prediction.
I know that's
for this
not
year.
A prediction.
I predict that 3D printers will not sell well this year.
What's the definition? What's the game?
I do not think that 3D printers will hit. Will sell a
million units.
All 3D printers together
across all of them. I mean, not counting the crazy.
I mean, home
and small business.
I do not think home and small business 3D printers will sell a million units this year. If we're using that as a measure of success,
I think you're incorrect. I think they will sell. I'm going to say we'll sell fewer than 3D printers will sell fewer than
a million units this year.
Fewer than 1 million
for the home and small business and education. Sure.
I'm going to say I think HP will sell a 3D printer this year.
Oh.
Announce.
Oh, that would totally be in their wheelhouse.
Yeah, they've dropped the ball so far, I think. Do you agree or disagree?
I'm going to disagree, but I want to agree.
You want to believe?
I want to believe and want that to happen.
Okay.
But that would make so much sense.
I think Oculus Rift is going to revitalize virtual reality. The idea of goggles.
I'm going to disagree. And by revitalize, you mean you think there'll be a ton of...
I think we'll see a return to like 1994.
There'll be several different companies releasing their versions.
Yes.
I'm going to disagree.
Maybe not releasing, announcing.
I will disagree.
The return to the zeitgeist.
Would you say six, at least six different
I'd say three.
Rip-offs?
I would not call it revitalization. I think this year is going to be... I think 2014... We'll see people doing 3D goggle, like 3D goggles at Best Buy or assuming Best Buy. Oh, I think Best Buy won't be around at the end of 2013.
It's a bold prediction.
No.
I'm going to say.
In its current form.
Like in as a brick and mortar store.
No, as a store where you go to buy DVDs and movies and washing machines. I think that they'll pull out of some part of that, one of those markets.
What,
computers, appliances, well, maybe multiples.
No. If you're talking about the core Best Buy experience, you can't say pull out of like, you know, car parts or something. That was
car
never
audio?
Big, car audio
no,
was never a big thing for them.
Yeah, it is. It's just not here.
To say that Best Buy is not going to do one of their departments.
I'll say it won't exist in its current form. It'll either be media or I think they're out of appliances and out of car stereos and out of, I think they ditch all of the low margin stuff. How's that?
Okay.
So that means getting rid of media probably.
Wow. I will predict that they will not get out of media.
Ditches all its low margin areas in 2014. I should have probably played music before we started this.
I think that Best Buy will not ditch media.
Okay.
Too much money in DVD sales.
I won't ditch media. It's declining. 2013. Yes, I disagree. Okay. Let's do a few more.
What are the things that...
I doubt that I will kill a fly with the bug assault in 2013. I can control that, so it's not a very good prediction.
Do you think about Kickstarter? We'll see a first $5 million Kickstarter. Wearable watches, biofitness.
I don't think that wearable watches are going to be a thing.
Wearable watches? You mean wearable computers?
Smartwatches.
You don't think?
I think smartwatches are dumb. I'm just going to say that. That's a prediction.
I also think that smartwatches are dumb. I'm going to go very specific. The people who bought the, what was that, Kickstarter?
The Pebble,
which will deliver in 2013, I think those people will be disappointed. I think Pebble users will be disappointed And at the end of 2013, more people who bought Pebble watches will not be using them than people who bought them
wow,
or
that's
are using
a,
them.
A corollary. Okay. More people will who bought
Pebble watches bought. Will not be using them.
Will not be using them than are.
Yes.
By the end of 2013. And have you tried that Meta watch at all?
It looks ugly. No, I've not used it yet.
Yeah, it's not very good. It's not just not useful. Anything else?
Will Apple get into wearable computing?
I think that Apple. I think
whether it's glasses or watches.
I think glasses are a 2014 thing. I think they're not going to do watches. I don't think Apple will sell or announce.
I don't think Apple will do glasses.
Connected watch.
Or glass.
2013. I think they will do glasses.
In 2013?
I think they'll do it in 2014.
I don't think they'll do glasses.
I think Apple will do glasses. We'll do glasses. You want to do some drone stuff? You think no or never?
I think not in the next 2 years.
Yes. Yes.
God. Tim Cook coming on stage with a pair of goofy glasses that have a monitor on the side is the death knell of Apple.
Tim Cook wearing goofy monitor glasses
on stage is the death knell of Apple.
Is the death knell of Apple. Okay, you're saying yes. I think that's a no. Well, if they're goofy, yes. But I think that they can make them that aren't goofy looking.
I don't think that's possible.
That picture of Sergey does look a little crazy.
I don't think that's possible.
What else you got?
I don't think that biomonitoring devices will be as big a hit, will be that big of a hit in 2013.
Or would you say that biomonitoring devices are a fad?
Yes. I think that separate biomonitoring devices are a fad. Ones that you buy that are specific use.
I'm going to say they're a fad that will wane in 2013.
Or they will be integrated into other devices.
Or they will be integrated into phones. Phones?
Other devices.
Okay, that's nice and vague. Like your smartwatch?
I think that Apple will release a Retina desktop size screen next year.
A Retina cinema display?
Or iMac.
I'll say Retina equivalent desktop monitor.
Mm-hmm. In 2013.
Or in 2013. I think that's probably fairly safe. Do we want to make a 4K price prediction? Do you think we'll see a 4K set for $5,000?
I think we'll see a 4K set for $3,000.
For $3,000, okay. Yes, no. I think we will see a 4K set for more than $3,001.
Wow.
4K set for Price is Right, yeah.
I think if you think about that and you think about Korean monitors that are 2.5K, 2560 by 1440.
I'm already right,
because
you can buy that Sony monitor for $25,000.
$25,000.
More than $3,001.
No, but your prediction then is that they're a high price.
Yeah.
My prediction that is that they will, that's a stupid prediction because we're talking about floors, not ceilings.
Okay, $5,000. Cheap 4K sets.
You're saying that they will not go below $5,000.
$5,000, yeah.
I'm saying that I think we'll be able to buy one for $3,000.
Well, so then you agree with my prediction, is what you're saying.
But I'm saying $3,000.
Right, I know. But your prediction includes my prediction.
My prediction is more specific.
No.
It's more aggressive.
Your prediction is more aggressive. It is not more specific. It is the exact same amount of specificity.
It's way more aggressive.
Is
a bolder prediction.
Is a bolder, dumber
prediction. I am happier with the bolder prediction.
Less likely to be correct. I think I'm out.
There must be more predictions.
We're talking about game stuff.
Is there going to be a Retina MacBook Air?
PC stuff?
Retina MacBook Air?
No. No Retina MacBook Air in 2013.
Ooh.
They wouldn't have announced the 13-inch Retina Pro if they were going to do 13-inch MacBook Airs. And they're not going to do an 11-inch Air.
What do you mean they're not going to do an 11-inch Air?
They're not going to do an 11-inch Retina Air. Do you agree or disagree?
I agree, but I so want to disagree.
You want to believe. Okay. What else we got?
What companies are going to go out of business?
Oh, last time we did this, I said Sony, and everybody thought I was crazy, and then they had the worst year they've ever had.
But Sony also makes cars.
No.
They make trucks.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
They make those loader trucks.
I don't like playing this game because lots of people lose their jobs when companies go out of business.
Let's not play this game then.
Okay. Legislation stuff? You want to talk about SOPA or anything like that? No.
What is going to be the hottest product in 2013?
iPad.
iPad mini with Retina.
Something with iPad in it.
I'll take anything with iPad with it. Anything with iPad.
Yes. Yes.
Will there be a third size iPad?
No.
No third size iPad.
You agree?
I agree. I reluctantly agree.
Oh, wait. I made that. Hold on. Yeah, I think we're out. I think we're good.
Okay. That's plenty of predictions.
We'll revisit it. And when Gary adds his list.
Gary's going to add a bunch of gaming stuff, right, so he'll be fine.
He's going to add a bunch of controllers and stuff. A couple tiny bit more news. Do we want to talk about Ubuntu Phone OS?
Ubuntu Phone is not Ubuntu for Android.
Uh-oh.
It is Ubuntu OS, but now when you run it on an Android class device, something with ARM and with the same hardware as Android phones, you get an Ubuntu-specific interface.
So is this something that phone manufacturers
can license for free?
Right, and then they can take their existing Android designs, move their drivers over that already run on Android, and they'll work on this?
And they will work on this.
So what's the difference? Just no Dalvik?
I guess.
Huh.
A difference from Ubuntu?
Yeah, will it run Ubuntu RPM? Well, not RPMs, packages that you download from the...
It will run Ubuntu apps.
Okay.
But it will not run Android apps.
Hmm.
That's Ubuntu for Android.
That seems like a...
It will have desktop or native apps.
Ubuntu for Android is just a launcher, basically, right?
Yes.
A launcher replacement.
Yeah. Which is what was on those, like the Atrix stuff.
Yeah.
This singular OS, for example, if you had a Android phone with a powerful ARM processor, this is the dream of the Atrix. You dock this to a monitor, and then you run full Ubuntu on your desktop.
Right. And this is one of the things that they're actually promising, is that you'll be able to do this, dock with a monitor, keyboard, and mouse, and have it, and it'll be a real computer.
And by next year, 2014, mid-2014, when you download Ubuntu, it will be all of these things in one download.
You mean Ubuntu for Android?
No, Ubuntu for phone and Ubuntu desktop will all be one install.
Really?
Yes.
Right now it's like 3,500 different installs depending on which kind of architecture you have.
This one, by next year?
So they're saying a unified interface across PC and phone.
Not necessarily interface, but unified OS kernel.
That's crazy. You're going to be able to download the phone OS? Well, maybe. Who knows? Okay. Great. Awesome. Sounds good. Windows gains market share for the first time in 6 months. I guess that's Windows 8 sales.
Yes.
That's the
same story. Yep.
Yeah, we talked about that already. Do you want to talk about the Google Maps in cars?
Two Korean car manufacturers, Hyundai and Kia, have plans to put Google Maps and Google Places into cars. I don't like this.
Why not? It seems like a good thing.
I think that Google Maps in on the Tesla was one of the weakest aspects of the Tesla. The data was good, but the implementation was real, almost lazy.
Did it do turn by turn and stuff like that?
It did turn by turn. Yes, it did turn by turn. But on the main dash interface, it really looked like here's Google Maps in a browser window in a car. And
so it
did not
feel appy.
No, it was like Google for desktop almost.
Okay.
As opposed to Google Nav for for on.
And is that
phones.
Running Android or is that running a Tegra Linux. With Linux?
Yeah, that's Linux. Okay, yeah.
I assume that if they're doing a deal with this to put in a mass market number of cars, because you know there's still only a few thousand Teslas out there, right? That they'll have a better user
if it's
experience.
Like Google Maps for Android or Google Maps for iOS, then I'll be much happier.
Yeah,
but right now it is more like Google for desktop.
Hmm. There was a story about interplanetary space travel. Some scientists, let's see, I think it was rats, but I can't remember. They exposed a certain strain of rats to like cosmic conditions that mimic interplanetary space. And the rats developed Alzheimer's like dementia symptoms much, much faster than they do inside, you know, when not exposed to those rays. It has really, really bad implications for travel to places like Mars, where you're looking at 18 months to 2 years minimum travel time there and back. If you get there, land, take off immediately and come back. So kind of a bummer, something to think about because it involves a lot more. It makes that trip involve a lot more shielding and things like that. If we assume that people aren't going to be crazy, would you go to Mars if you might be demented when you come back?
No. Well, if you go to Mars at this point in my lifetime, you would not expect to come back.
Probably a one-way trip.
Yes. Last thing you want to be is the crazy guy on Mars.
I don't know. That's because you get a grow a sweet beard, you know. It's like the Old West. That's what happened then too. Virgin Galactic Spaceship 2 flew for the first time. They've done 20 glide tests so far, but they loaded up the rocket motor, put all the piping and plumbing and stuff in, and they did a glide test with the motor. It's still not been turned on, but they've flown it under the white night. They've dropped it. They've glided it down a whole bunch of times, and now it has the motor. And finally, the last and most important piece of news we've talked about so far today, GIF. It's the word of the year.
So announced on November 14th by the Oxford English Dictionary.
I know. I missed it.
As we wrote it on test.com.
We didn't talk about it on the podcast last time. I wanted to bring it up.
Okay.
Because I wanted to say GIF. Pronounce it the correct way. Yeah. That'll do it for news. Let's play some music and talk about what we've been testing. What's your favorite GIF this year, Norm?
I don't know. There's too many.
Is it a funny GIF or is it a serious? Is it like a cinemagraph or is it a...
I'm so over cinemagraphs.
Really?
Very over cinemagraphs.
Did you like that New York... We didn't talk about the New York Times snow, the avalanche story.
The story was good. I liked the story. The presentation was okay.
Okay. It didn't work at all. I read it on the iPad. Didn't know what the fuss was all about. So I was a little bummed out when I realized I'd read a 12-page article or something and didn't have all the fancy graphics and stuff they had on the real browsers. Did you test anything over the break, Norm?
No.
Do you want to talk about your Batmobile?
No, we
talked about it
about
a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. I did carpentry. I did a lot of carpentry over the break. I went and got 2 4x8 foot sheets of plywood of like fancy like cabinet plywood, not, you know, the stuff you get at Home Depot, and broke them down into shelf 10-inch widths to make shelves with, learned how to use a table saw. I mean, I knew how to use a table saw kind of before, but I'd never used it for precise work. I'd always used it for like ripping like rough cuts basically. And rented a table saw and a miter saw and learned how to use that stuff over the break. And have started gluing shelves together, which has been really a fantastic learning experience. Yeah, wood glue.
There you go.
Titebond 3. It's the recommended for this type of application and is a little bit more water resistant than a lot of other stuff.
And then next is painting. Finishing.
Sanding, finishing. I think I'm going to have to maybe get some veneer to go over the edges of the plywood. I don't know exactly how that'll work. And then after painted veneer? No, you'd put the veneer down and then paint.
Okay.
So I'd get veneer that matches the wood. I might be able to just do it with like a wood putty, make smears across the front and then sand that a little bit. I don't know, I'll have to see.
Now you know why things on Etsy cost so much money.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the amount of time I've put into this at this point, if I were doing it again, I'd probably I'd probably pay someone to rip the plywood for me because that was an enormous, it was a really awful day of hard work and required 2 people for a lot of it just because you have to support the wood as it goes through the table saw and really cutting a 4-foot sheet of plywood. I had to do a lot of the rips with a skill saw and a guide, basically. So I clamped a 2x4 onto the plywood, used that as the guide for the circular saw, and then did the fine work with the table saw. And then I had to buy a whole shitload of clamps. I had to buy like 17 clamps to do the 16 clamps to do.
I think
the,
they're cheap.
Well, they're like still like $8 each.
No, they're not. No way that expensive.
Those metal clamps?
Metal clamps are
not C clamps. I need corner clamps. C clamps are $2 each. They're easy. I bought a bunch of those too because I needed them to hold stuff to the board.
That seems like really expensive for clamps.
But the corner clamps can go between. Well, the ones that there was a time factor. I didn't want to order them online.
Planning thing. Pay the premium for needing a day of.
I had two and thought that was enough because the glue said it set in 30 minutes. But it turns out not really. It kind of does, but it's not good enough. So that was the big lesson there is I needed a whole shitload of clamps.
You could just leave the clamps there and have that be part of the aesthetic.
Well, they don't stack right if I leave the clamps. So yeah, that was good. I tested a new Zojirushi. I drank some coffee. The new lid's much better than the old one. I talked about in my favorite stuff of the year.
Yep.
Some apps. Penny Arcade's Deck Builder, the Gamers vs. Evil is out for iOS now. It's $5. If you like deck building games, you should play that. It's from the same people did the port as did Ascension. It's really well done. You can play asynchronously online where people, you know, kind of almost like play by email kind of rules. So that's great. And Megasoom on Twitter recommended this app called Space Program. If you have not played it, it is awesome. How much are corner clamps?
Corner clamps?
They go up to like $20.
Up to $25 or $35.
Yeah.
I guess they're ratcheting band clamps, but you can get them for as low as $5.
Yeah. So the ones with the ones that do both sides simultaneously aren't very good, I found. I bought a couple of the expensive ones thinking that was all I was going to need, but it doesn't give you precise control over the placement. And if you want your alignment to be exactly right, then you want to be able to do one side clamp, lock one side down, then use the other side as the guides to place your piece properly, and then cinch it down once you squeeze it into place with yet another clamp. When I tweeted that I needed more clamps, everybody who's ever done woodworking in the world or had a father who did let me know that apparently it's a kind of aphorism in the woodworking world that you never can have enough clamps.
There you go.
And
more clamps.
Harrison Cricks from Vulpen tweeted me a picture of his clamp wall, which was awesome. He had like 50, 60 clamps there, way more clamps than I would ever need. Download Space Program. It's awesome. It's basically like Kerbal Space Program for iOS, and you basically have missions where you have to go fly through space and build rocket ships to do stuff, and it's a very cool kind of time wastery kind of fun game. And you may learn a little tiny bit about getting to space, but I don't know that you will in the real world. I guess that'll do it for what we're testing, unless you have anything has come to mind.
No.
I'm playing some music, and then let's take some questions.
Emails?
Well, but we do the other one.
Emails.
Yeah, we don't do emails. We do
emails.
No.
Questions.
Boom. If you have a question for This Is Only a Test, the email address is podcast@tested.com. Keep it short, under 45 seconds. Make sure it sounds okay like the podcast does, not like something being run down a mountain in an avalanche. And here's the first question.
Hello, Tested guys. This is Jerry from Alexandria, Virginia. Hometown trivia. Alexandria was the site of the first casualties of the American Civil War, occurring on May 24th, 1961, about a month after the attack on Fort Sumter. My question. On a recent podcast, Will, and especially Norm, seemed to poo-poo the idea of Microsoft stores. However, in a rapidly approaching post-Best Buy world, if manufacturers don't create these retail experiences, how are we supposed to see and touch tech devices before we drop hundreds or even thousands of dollars on them? I actually really like the manufacturer-based stores, because I know that they're basically just a marketing tool, so I don't feel bad shopping around for a better price once I've used that showroom. Conversely, I get a really skeevy feeling about myself when I've used Best Buy, Barnes & Noble, or even worse, a mom-and-pop shop, as a showroom for Amazon. Thank you for all your work, and keep on testing. By the way, Norm, please have a snack before you podcast. Cranky Norm is not very much fun to listen to.
I ate a lunch.
Yeah, I didn't eat lunch today. I'm really hungry, and there's an ambulance outside. You know, the using the manufacturer's stores as a showroom is something I hadn't thought about before. I thought that was kind of interesting. I don't like to use mom and pop stores as showrooms. I feel like that's really kind of unfortunate. But the other thing is that places like Target and Walmart are going to be around for the foreseeable future. Because it's always going to be easier to go get detergent at Target than it is to order that from Amazon.
In a post Best Buy world, we get what we reap what we sow. We don't shop at Best Buy. Best Buy is no longer there. Apple stores are successful because not only are they showrooms, and many of them are. I mean, people, they are showrooms, stock rooms, and service centers. I think Amazon needs to open its own stores.
If Amazon opens retail stores, that defeats the whole purpose of Amazon.
Just as showrooms.
You mean for their specific...
For their wares.
For Kindle,
yes.
Basically, only.
Yes.
I can see that. I don't... The reason the Apple stores... So I only go to Apple stores for service stuff. I don't ever go to Apple stores to buy stuff.
Well, very you rarely. Don't. Many people only go to Apple stores to buy stuff. And many people only go to Apple stores for the showroom purpose, to touch stuff.
I guess that's true. Or then a lot of people go to Apple stores to check their email,
yeah.
too, it seems like.
Yep.
So, anyway, there wasn't much of a question there, I guess.
No. I guess his point was that there was a purpose for Microsoft stores.
Well, when I went to the Microsoft store, the person I spoke to was... I don't want to say profoundly unknowledgeable, but they didn't know what they were talking about at all when I asked questions about the product. And I wasn't testing. I just was kind of curious to see what they had. I asked about the Pro availability, which of course no one knows the answer to. And I got this is the best Surface that you're going to see. So, it's that kind of stuff is really disconcerting. And I haven't ever had that happen at an Apple store. If they don't know something, then they go ask rather than give you the answer they think.
I've had a lot of conversations with people at Apple stores, and they don't know what they're talking about either.
I've had conversations where they didn't.
They're nice about it, but they don't know what they're talking about either. Like, oh, I didn't know you could do that.
But they know about the products. If there is a small iPad out, then they will tell you that there is a small. If Apple has announced a new iPad and they're still selling the old one, they will say, hey, the new one is out next week. This guy, when the Surface Pro is clearly coming and they haven't said and they haven't announced the date yet, this was a while ago, then yeah. I mean, then they should know that. And then he didn't. Or he told me what he thought he wanted to hear to get a sale.
But he'll let you know that he doesn't make commission.
That's great. I don't care. I mean, I'm sure. Yeah. Anyway, that's what I didn't like about the Microsoft store. And I guess that'll do it for us this week. Kind of a weird podcast. We're getting ready for CES next week. Norm, anything you would like to discuss? Yeah. RE plans for CES?
CES, Sunday to Friday.
Okay. Are you going to go to Lotus? I'm not going this year. We've talked about this a little bit, but Lotus of Siam.
2 days at least.
2 days. That's the plan? Wednesday and Sunday?
Sunday and Friday.
Okay. That's a lot of Lotus of Siam. Secret pizza the rest of the time.
Yep. Pizza party every night.
Staying in a new hotel this year, so it'll be exciting.
I'm not supporting that Westgate.
Fuck. What's the movie?
The Queen of Versailles.
But it's owned by Hilton now.
No, I think he sells his share.
Oh, really?
Yeah, dude's not bankrupt yet.
A couple of things of note. There'll be a daily wrap show every morning. May or may not be live. You have to evaluate the streaming situation out of the hotel room. Limited video next week. It'll be coming out over the next 2 or 3 weeks. We're only taking one producer. Only Joey's coming with us or going with you this year. So we will not have 40 things a day being posted on the video front. But Braga and Wes are going to be there. I'll be watching from home. So there'll be stuff to check out on Tested. Our goal, as always with CES, is to cherry pick the high points, not to give you complete coverage. We are not taking 60 people to CES this year. So, for Norman Chan, anything to plug? You just CES?
CES.
Okay.
2013.
We'll see you guys. And there may or may not be a regular podcast next week. I got to see if I can round up a couple of guests. We might do one on Wednesday or Thursday just to see what's up. Talk about what's going on. We'll see you guys next week. And I guess that's it for Tested. Happy New Year. We're not going to do fake out text, Jake, because I am really hungry. Today's outro is brought to you by EvilMax17. Here it is.
Hi there, I didn't see you.
Tested.
If you wanted to watch a movie about a bag full of cocks, what would you watch?
Tested. What was the movie with a bag full of cocks?
I don't have any idea. Was that last week? Or 2 weeks ago?
Is that like a... trying to think of another movie.
Was it the Zeitgeist thing? Were we talking about Magic Mike?
Magic Mike.
Had to be Magic Mike.
I guess that was it.
Okay. See you guys next week.